today's issues continues on AFR.
And welcome back to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues. Tim and Ed are away. Fred Jackson sitting in for them today. Of course, Ray Pritchard continuing to be with us on the program today. And we're joined now by Steve Jordahl from American Family News.
Hey.
I left out Paisley, didn't I?
You did. I'm not wearing Paisley today. I'm wearing my Madagascar shirt.
Well, that was probably the reason
there
I
you
did
go.
That, you know. Well, guys, I think you'd have to be under a rock not to understand. In this country right now, we are witnessing a cultural warfare. And I think, you know, from a Christian point of view, it is, I believe, spiritual warfare. A warfare over values that are going to determine where we're going as a country. And it's really a battle over the values that have made our country great. And I think more and more Americans are realizing this, and I think we're seeing it manifested in states across the country. And to that end, we have government leaders, some government leaders, that are willing to take a stand. And one of those right now is the leader of the great state of Mississippi, Governor Tate Reeves, and the governor joins us right now. Governor Reeves, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning, and thanks for having me on.
Good to have you, sir. You have made a proclamation next week, Christian Heritage Week. First of all, first question, why did you do that?
Well, for a number of reasons, and you're right, September 24th through September 30th will be Christian Heritage Week in Mississippi. And the primary reason is because in our state, we are proud of our Christian heritage. It's quite frankly, it's what's made our state great, but more, it's also what's made our country great. We were founded upon those Christian values and Christian principles that so many Mississippians adhere to, and it's something that I feel very, very compelled to do for the very reason that you mentioned in the lead-up, and that is there are so many leaders around America that are trying to lead their people in a completely different direction. And so I think it's important in states like Mississippi for those of us that are Christian leaders to stand up and say, hey, you may want to do that in the blue states. You may want to do that in California, New York, but not here, not here. We're gonna continue to focus on those ideals and principles that made this state and this country great.
Governor Steve Jordahl here. How would you like me to observe and celebrate this? And suppose I'm a pastor of a church this on the Sunday where this falls. What is your suggestion?
Well, obviously, I trust Mississippians to make their own determinations as to best celebrate it. But what I would say is if I were talking to preachers around our state, I would say I would mention it in the pulpit that September 24th to September 30th has been proclaimed Christian Heritage Week by the governor of the state of Mississippi. And I think we have I would want everyone to recognize that we have much to be thankful for in the state of Mississippi. We have much to be thankful for in the United States of America. But everything that we have to be thankful for, we must thank the Lord for the blessings that He has bestowed upon us, because those blessings are from Him. And so I would recognize that point. And then the final thing I would just say is that as followers of Christ, let us focus our efforts in the week of September 24th to September 30th, as we should be doing all 52 weeks of every year, and that is but trying to convert the unconverted. Try to get more of our fellow Mississippians, of our fellow Americans, to understand the power of prayer, the power of faith, and ultimately the power of Jesus Christ and the power of believing in Him and of everlasting life.
Right.
Governor Reeves, first of all, thank you so much for your leadership in the state of Mississippi. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for Christian Heritage Week, for speaking so boldly as a Christian. I want to ask you about one of the issues that's under discussion today, this question of men, these transgendered women who are really men, who now are coming in and playing women's sports. Why is that an issue, and what can we do to protect women's sports, not only in Mississippi, but around the country?
Well, to your initial question as to why is this an issue. For the life of me, I cannot figure out why there are so many Democrats in America that are so focused on not only having men play women's sports, but having men have the ability to walk through the dressing rooms and the bathrooms of teenage girls and girls in general. It is beyond baffling to me why this is an issue. But what I do know is it is an issue. It is an issue because they are making it an issue. And I am someone who will readily admit and do it all the time. I really do two things in life right now, guys. I literally work, and I watch my three daughters play sports. But I will tell you, I don't necessarily do it in that order. I schedule around my kids' sporting events because I think that is the father's role in the home, is to do everything that he can to support his kids. And I think when you have young daughters, it's even more important. And so that being the case, I think it's so important for elected leaders to stand up because, look, I have come under fire from my adversaries here in our state and around the country, and they attack. And we've got to have – and that causes some elected people to shy away from this fight. But I'm never going to shy away from this fight because it's too important to my three daughters and all Mississippians' daughters that we make it clear that in Mississippi we're going to let boys play boys' sports and we're going to let girls play girls' sports, period. End of discussion.
To that end, I think you have an event with Riley Gaines, the swimmer who has been in the news because she's fighting against this idea of having to compete against men. I hear you have an event with her next week?
We do. Riley is coming to the state of Mississippi and is going to spend a couple of days here, and I'm proud of her. She is obviously an incredibly talented athlete, an incredibly talented swimmer, but she has guts. She has guts to stand up for what's right. She has guts to stand up for what she believes in, and she has been mercilessly attacked over and over. And I want her to come to Mississippi at a minimum to say what you are doing matters, and that we care for you and we pray for you and we love what she is doing and we support her. Because a lot of times when you have folks like that that are constantly under attack, they need to hear that positive reinforcement. And in Mississippi, I think she'll get a very, very good reception.
We're talking to Governor Tate Reeves of Mississippi, who has issued a proclamation for Christian Heritage Week next week, starting this Sunday, September 24th. And related to what we've just been talking about, another big fight, and again, it's hard to understand this is happening in our country, Governor, is parental rights. You have parental rights under attack in states like California and other states where you have jurisdictions that are saying parents don't have a right to know if their little boy or little girl is saying at school, hey, I want to change how I'm addressed, my pronouns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and even taking medical treatments for a transition into an opposite sex, which we know is not really possible. But what about your stand on parental rights? Talk to us about that.
Well, first of all, in Mississippi, we passed a bill and I signed into law whereas in Mississippi, we have banned gender reassignment procedures for all Mississippians under the age of 18. We have said we are not going to let you attack our kids. We're not going to allow you to promote these horrifying and life-changing and life-altering procedures for sex changes in Mississippi. We're just not going to allow it to happen, and I've passed laws to do that. You know, that's been tried in other states, and you've had some governors veto that legislation. I signed it into law, and I'm proud of that fact. Look, we're told over and over by those on the far left that they're safe. We're told, don't worry, the kids will be fine. That potential side effects are minimal. And the fact of the matter is, if you stand up and ask questions, you get attacked. Fairly, unfairly labeled as intolerant, as transphobic, and you're attacked and you're censored, and it's a fight over and over. But the fact is that whether it's the surgeries or even the puberty blockers that are stopping puberty in use, it's not even FDA approved. The side effects are real, and it's life changing and it's life altering. And we're going to just not allow that to happen in Mississippi. And I wish more governors and more state legislators across America would stand up and at a minimum protect our kids from these terrible procedures.
Governor Tate Reeves of Mississippi, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for making this proclamation. And we do hope, folks, that proclamation has, Governor, I think, as you have said, too, it's not just 1 week. We ought to be upholding Christian values every week of the year, every day of the year. So thank you so much for what you're doing. We appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen. God bless.
All right. Take care. All right, Steve, in other news.
In other news. Well, President Biden says that tomorrow he's going to announce the creation of a new federal office. The office, wait for it, of gun violence prevention. Yeah, so this is what Shannon Watts is going to be is talking about the creation of this office, here's what she says: this is a government focal point dedicated to creating a framework for overseeing national policy research resources. It would be more than symbolic; it would be a significant turning point for the movement. I don't know, Ray, any concerns about the government getting in the
any concerns about
business?
The government getting into, look, we are all 100% against gun violence, right? We want to see it. We want to see it come to an end. But when in history has appointed yet another government agency with millions of dollars to oversee, when's it ever done anything? When has it ever actually accomplished anything about this? So I'm, color me, extremely skeptical about this.
Well, and we had the situation, Ray, just in the last week or so, the governor of Mexico declaring a ban on carrying a gun. I mean, she went on the attack against the Second Amendment.
Right, a patently unconstitutional position taken by the governor of New Mexico.
Even Democrats, guys, were complaining about this. I think, was it the Attorney General of California?
David Bonta?
Yeah, did he not?
The one I saw was David Hogg.
Okay, maybe
who was the student at Parkland High, I believe, and who has become a leading young person activist, millennial-type activist, or Gen X activist for gun, so-called gun control. And he tweeted out, nope, you can't do this. I'm all for controls on guns, but this is unconstitutional.
Ray, it just seems that the Democratic Party is bent on getting around, and I think if they could, getting rid of the Second Amendment.
Oh, they would. We know that. They would get rid of the Second Amendment if they could. They just don't have the support and don't have the votes. So they do crazy things like what the governor of New Mexico wanted to do. I don't know if she's still arguing for it, but I mean, that was met with resistance all across the country. And if they can't get rid of the Second Amendment, then we appoint an office and throw millions of dollars into it to accomplish, I think, very little.
All right, Steve.
All right. We are staring down the barrel of another arms race, it would appear. We've been talking a little bit about Iran, who is, according to people I've talked to, about 2 weeks away from actually having a nuclear bomb. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean that they will in 2 weeks, but if they were to start in earnest constructing one, they have the uranium. They need about 2 weeks to put it into practice. Now, one of the things I've been kind of considering is that it would only take a week and 6 days for Israel to kind of deal with that. They might set that agenda back a bit. But I want you to hear Brett Baer of Fox News was having a conversation with Saudi Arabian Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and brought up the issue of Iran having a nuclear weapon. I want you to hear what he had to say. Cut 10.
Are you concerned, though, Iran gets a nuclear weapon, about them getting a nuclear weapon? When we are concerned of any country getting a nuclear weapon, that's a bad move. And you don't need to get a nuclear weapon because you cannot use it. Even if Iran gets a nuclear weapon, any country use a nuclear weapon, that means they are having a war with the rest of the world. The world cannot see another Hiroshima. If the world see 100,000 people dead, that means you are in a war with the rest of the world. So it's a useless effort to reach a nuclear weapon because you cannot use it. If you use it, you got to have a big fight with the rest of the world.
If they get one, will you?
If they get one, we have to get one.
A little conflicted, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's scary, amping this up. You know, there's some bad actors in the world, and if you were to list them, I think Iran would be right on top, North Korea, and certainly now China and Russia. I'm getting really concerned, Ray, when I see the visitation that's going on. Vladimir Putin has just been invited to go visit China. The Chinese have been in Moscow visiting with him. Iran is,
the North Korean.
Yeah, Iran is now supplying drone weaponry to the Russians.
Right.
These are rogue actors.
Right.
All right. You may not think of China as a rogue, but they're behind the scenes supplying the weapons that these rogues are using right now. And people better sit up and pay attention to this.
You know, Steve, you used a great expression. You said he sounded conflicted. Well, yeah. Okay, folks, raise your hands if you trust the Iranian leaders.
Mm.
Okay. I don't see very many. Raise your hands if you trust Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Raise your hands if you trust the guy in Beijing, President Xi. And okay, anybody out there want to say you really have trust in the guy in North Korea?
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un,
and
right?
More increasingly, his sister.
His sister, right.
Her name.
Who sounds even more radical than him and more crazy than him. So the brother and sister combo in North Korea.
Yeah.
I'm sympathetic. If I am in Saudi Arabia, I think I'd say the same thing. If the Iranians get a nuclear weapon, we've got to do it too. I mean, this is, people want to say, why do nations get nuclear weapons? Because the bad actors already have them.
Yeah. China has been documented as being kind of the primary adversary of the United States. And as a leader, or at least a co-leader with this new axis of evil, if you want to call it that, I think that they will do anything they can to disrupt our country, its economy, its our infrastructure. And even the threat of this is destabilizing to a point. So there's a lot of people who argue that China could defeat the United States without firing a shot, just create chaos around here, collapse the economy. They are trying to set themselves up as the new world power that everybody has to kowtow to.
Well, Ray, too, I think, and I'm not certainly the first to say this, many others, military experts, are very concerned that the world is looking at the current leadership of the United States, Joe Biden. They look at the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. Mm. They look at the deal that was made to bring those five Americans home, give up five Iranians that were being held here, plus $6 billion going to that terrorist sponsoring regime
right.
of Iran. They look at all of this, and they see Joe Biden, the leadership in Beijing and these other rogue leaders, and they say, you know, now's our time to act.
And you can't blame them because you cannot blame the bad guys for saying this is our time to act, because they respect strength. The bad guys respect strength, and yes. when they can smell weakness a mile away.
They're getting a large whiff of it right now.
Oh, gosh. They see the weakness in American leadership, and they're taking advantage of it all over the world, which is why you've got the Iranians acting ever more. They don't really have rational leadership at the top over there, but more dangerous now than ever.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve.
All right. We are entering, by some accounts, another round of COVID infections. The last I heard, this was going to be kind of a seasonal thing like the flu. The danger from this virus is lessening as it kind of dilutes itself over time. So I don't think we're looking at another pandemic, so to speak. But that doesn't keep the powers that be from treating it like one. We have occasion often to talk with a gentleman, a doctor named Dr. Peter McCullough. And I've been actually tweeting him this morning about this. He was last weekend, he was in Europe and spoke at the European Union. And he is saying, talking about an axis of evil, he is saying that there is a collaboration between a whole bunch of different medical institutions. And I just want you to hear what he has to say. Cut 11.
There have been two waves of injury to the world. The first has been the SARS-CoV-2 infection, which preyed upon the frail and the elderly. And then the second wave of injury now has been the COVID-19 vaccines. The role of the WHO appears to be adverse in both of these. The role of the WHO appears to be operating within a biopharmaceutical complex, a syndicate, a complicated syndicate that has formed over time. It includes the WHO, the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, the Gates Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, the Wellcome Trust, Gavi, CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness and Innovation, that Gates Foundation and the WEF formed largely. The Department of State in the United States, the National Institutes of Health, the CDC, the FDA, the MHRA in the UK, the TGA in Australia, SAFRA in South Africa, the EMA here in Europe. This grouping of non-governmental organizations with governmental public health agencies is operating as a unit. They're carefully coordinated, and the impact has been adverse.
Wow. He named a whole bunch of groups there. He mentioned
and powerful groups, 16 yes. of them to be exact.
Yeah, World Health Organization. Ray, we had Jan Markell on not too long ago. She has dealt with this. These are all globalist organizations. Their goal is control. There are many who believe the Biden administration would like to cede our health decisions to the World Health Organization, and whatever they decide would be applied here in America. And I'm not sure after what we've just gone through this pandemic and the restrictions, Ray, I'm not sure whether Americans would put up with it again.
I'll tell you something, Fred. What's clear to me, traveling around the country, which I've done a lot of in the last few months, Americans across the board, I think from coast to coast, have said enough is enough is enough. One pandemic was enough. The shutdowns were a disaster. The masking thing was a fiasco. The vaccine thing backfired as the truth now has come out. And I think Americans are not going to go down that road again.
All right. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. Just a jam-packed hour and a half here of news, and that's what we're here to do each day, to bring you the news from a biblical perspective, folks. And it's our privilege to do so, and we thank you for supporting us on that.
Can I channel Tim Wildman right now?
Oh, sure.
Trivia Friday tomorrow, folks.
That's right. All right, Steve, thank you very much. Bye-bye. Ray, thank you so much.
Thank
Brent
you,
Creeley, our producer, Chris Woodward from the newsroom. And yes, Tim will be back, I believe, tomorrow. Brent, is that correct? No, he's not back. We'll have a bunch of guests on Trivia Friday tomorrow.
The trivia question is, who's going to be on Trivia Friday?
All right, take care, folks. More great programming here on American Family Radio. Bye for now.